pass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Is there any approved, anything in the agenda today?
No.
No changes? Okay. Motion, gentlemen?
Make a motion we approve the agenda for Sussex County Council July 15, 2008, as in printed form.
Second.
Moved and seconded, we approve the agenda as printed. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. Motion passed. You have minutes in printed form for the June 10th meeting.
Make a motion we approve the minutes for Sussex County Council June 10th, 2008, as in printed form.
Second.
Moved and seconded that we accept the minutes in printed form for June the 10th. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I have the printed form of June 17th.
Make a motion to approve the minutes for Sussex County Council June 17th, 2008.
Second.
Moved and seconded that we approve the minutes for as printed for June 17th. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. Correspondence?
Okay. Quite a few items here. The first one is a letter from Emmy Januszewski thanking the council for a recent contribution. I'm not sure what that relates to, but the address is Woodbridge High School. We have a letter from Violet Rust of Milford, Delaware. She indicates that she has recently moved to the county and was interested in obtaining a job with the county. She says, when I walked into your human resources department, I was greeted by a very personable woman who went out of her way to talk to me about what I was looking for and also gave me some insight into the area. Her name was Bonnie Wooten. I think I pronounced that right. I cannot tell you how much I enjoyed speaking with her and her professional, and how professional she was. Okay, letter from the University of Delaware. Clinton Tynes, State Director, thanking the council for the contribution of $10,000 to support the program. And this is the State Small Business Development Center Network. Letter from the mayor of the city of Dover, Carlton E. Carey Sr. On behalf of the city of Dover, please accept our deepest heartfelt condolences at the loss of Sussex County paramedic Stephanie Lynn Calloway, who perished in the line of duty on June 17, 2008. The thoughts and prayers of the good citizens of Dover, Delaware, go out to the family and loved ones of the dedicated public servant, her fellow paramedics, and to Sussex County. I have a letter from Chief Executive Officer of the American Red Cross of the Delmarva Peninsula, thanking for the generous $5,000 gift from the County Council, County Council's Human Services Grant, and the additional $5,000 gift from County Member Vance Phillips, Community Investment Grant. This is correspondence from the Boy Scouts of America, Delmarva Council, Inc., thanking the council for its recent gift to $500. This correspondence from Alice Godwin. Let's see. Thanking the county for assistance provided to her in, it looks like home repair and hooking her up to the county sewer District. And she indicated that when she greatly needed help, the council provided it. Correspondence from Seaford Historical Society thanking the council for the recent grant in the amount of $10,000 for repairs to the Ross Mansion. And that's it.
Any other correspondence from any of the council? Being none, Dave.
Yes, thank you. Good evening. Tonight we have with us Mr. Ed Lewandowski, director of the Center for the Inland Bays, and he has with him Eric Buell and E.J. Calabala. What we are requesting is your consideration to approve an extension of the lease to the Center for the Inland Bays for the 148-acre James Farm property on Cedar Neck Road. The proposed lease terms, similar to the existing lease, is a 5-year lease with an automatic renewal for another 5 years unless the county gives the Center for the Inland Bays a 6-month notice. And I have copies here. There you go. Pass out. The rent is $1 a year. The center would continue to occupy and maintain the premises as an environmental preserve for environmental education and recreational activities. And this lease has been reviewed by Mr. Vince Robertson and Mr. Bill Townsend. With that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Lewandowski and go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. Gentlemen and ladies, good evening. You know, I had a choice to make tonight. I was invited to dine out with my mother-in-law and father-in-law, and my very cantankerous sister-in-law who's visiting from Georgia, or come spend some time with you. So I thank you dearly for the opportunity to be here this evening.
This is on the internet.
Sure to pass that along.
We'll be happy to tell your father-in-law.
He would not be surprised by those comments.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Internet savvy.
But it is a pleasure.
You're probably going to have to buy, that's why. Yeah.
It's a privilege to be here this evening. I'm going to keep my remarks rather brief because I do want to give Eric and EJ an opportunity to share with you some information about their projects, which I think you'll find a lot more interesting than what I have to say. About a decade ago, Mr. Stickles approached County Council about establishing a partnership between the center and the council for management of a property down in Ocean View called the James Farm. It's a county-owned property. And in the fall of that year, a 5-year occupancy agreement was executed between council and the center, and a subsequent 5-year renewal of that agreement is set to expire this year. And I'm here this evening to request your consideration for renewal of the occupancy agreement for an additional 5 years. Now, I think that you can agree that the partnership has been a resounding success. During the past 10 years, the James Farm has become a destination for locals and tourists alike. It has been featured in travel books as well as birding magazines. It served as a useful site for many of our restoration and demonstration projects. It's a site for the county's largest native plant sale, which we host. And I think most importantly, it has served as an educational site for more than 8,000 middle-level students from the Indian River School District and other schools throughout the state. Now, I know that you're as proud of this effort as we are because you've highlighted the James Farm in many of your outreach publications, especially the update of the county's comprehensive plan. So on behalf of our board of directors, our staff, our numerous volunteers, and our thousands of supporters, I respectfully request that Sussex County renew the James Farm occupancy agreement for an additional 5 years at the cost of $1 per year.
Can you afford it?
Can we afford it? I think we're good. Okay. I think we're good, Councilman.
Are they paid up, Mr. Baker?
Pardon me?
Are they paid up?
Are they? Yes.
Can you break a 20?
No, we don't deal on those big numbers like this.
I would like to thank Sussex County Council for its continuing support of our National Estuary Program, and we look forward to continuing our collaboration with you on our activities to restore Delaware's Inland Bays.
I'll just say I have to ride by it probably 3 or 10 times a day almost sometimes, it feels like. But it's there's always people in the parking lot.
There are.
And I've heard nothing but positive comments. It's also dog-friendly, which most of the state parks are not, and other parks. And I know there's, you know, you have to keep a dog on a leash and all that stuff, but I think that a lot of people appreciate that they have a place that they can even walk their dog in an open area like that. So
they certainly
are
do.
You, are you insinuating, Mr. Gold, the CIB is going to the dogs?
No. But I will say that most organizations like this would have probably not permitted dogs, and for some reason, they've been dog friendly, and I've heard nothing. But I'm telling you, Dale, the number of people that stop me and say they think it's great.
I never realized there was a need for something like that. But anyway, they seem to have filled that niche also. So.
Councilman, I think we're trying to be true and respect the wishes of Mary Lightly, who donated the county to the property. She wanted to make it available for all recreational purposes.
Oh yeah, it is. No, it is. And it's, like you said, the reforestation. It's amazing how that one side is looks like it's come back as a wooded area.
Yeah, it's a fantastic site, and we certainly appreciate you affording us the opportunity.
And I'm glad nobody's caught me stealing oysters in the evening.
EJ, you hear that?
Oh, I've got photos.
I can believe you, because that's the only reason that we keep giving you money, so George won't run short on oysters every the year. That's the truth, yeah.
I was going to invite Finley, too, to my next oyster eat.
So I'd be happy to entertain any other questions.
I'll make a motion we extend the lease for another 5 years with the same terms.
Second.
We move to second. Do we extend the lease as presented? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. Thanks, Ed. I appreciate it. You're going to let Eric come up?
This time I'd like to introduce Eric Buell. Eric's the Habitat Coordinator with the Center, and he's going to review for you the Sluice Gut Marsh Enhancement Project.
Okay.
Got a lot of
jobs. Good evening, Eric.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. President, Councilman, Mr. Baker. I'm going to flip this around real quick.
Okay.
You all have a copy of a handout just very generically describing the project.
Yep.
I'd like the others, want to thank the county for their support over the many years. I also want to thank Patty Deptula and Mike Izzo for their support on this, all the projects we've been working on. Since I've been at the Center for the Inland Bays, we've had a chance to do reforestation projects, warm season native grasses. We've done a non-tidal wetland, native plant garden, EJ's oyster reef, as well as eelgrass planting. And I'm really excited about a project that we've been working on for quite some time. And we just want to let you know what's going on since we're getting close to the actual permitting stage of the project. And on your handout, you see a description of what we're referring to as the Sluice Gut Marsh Enhancement Project. And it's located on the east side of the James Farm in the marsh that's over on that particular side that butts up against Fresh Pond State Park in that area. And this is basically what the marsh looks like as of now. You can see that back in the 1930s, the grid ditches were dug for mosquito control. And EJ and some of our interns spent the past couple of summers out in that marsh collecting a lot of the different birds or identifying birds, some of the fish and other animals that live out in there, as well as some of the plants that are there. And it doesn't have a whole lot of variety of plants and animals in that marsh. And so what we want to do is an enhancement project. It looks like about a 1960s Andy Warhol print, but try to recreate some of the natural channels that would have been in a marsh of this type in the Inland Bays. There'll be little shallow pools for fish to move into and wading birds to feed from, deeper pools that will be permanent, we hope to kind of restore the way that the water moved in and out of the marsh, and with that should see an increase in the different types of plants and the animals that use these marshes around the Inland Bays. The important thing here is for us is there's a really great educational component to this. People are going to see this work taking place. There's going to be signage there that describes what it was like before, and then they'll be able to witness the changes over time as different plants move in, different birds start to arrive on the farm. And then lastly, we're hoping that this is some cutting-edge work that we'll be able to tout around the region and say this is a place to come and researchers can study what's been taking place. So. That's the Sluice Gut Marsh Enhancement Project.
I got a question.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you. On the other side, over there by the little spit of land that separates White's Creek and the Cove.
Yes, sir. Pasture Point?
Pasture Point, right. It's breaking apart. I mean, is there any plans to try to make sure that doesn't disappear?
Might let Ed handle this one.
Yeah, I'm just because I see it, you know, getting smaller and smaller. I think it's broken through.
Yeah, it is quite disturbing the amount of erosion that's occurred there, especially within the past 5 years.
We may not have a cove.
Yeah, we have been pursuing a restoration project for that spit of land, Pastor Point.
Right.
Right now, we are in discussion stages with Denrick about the methodology that we might employ to try to stabilize Pastor Point and then bring back some of the habitat there. It's a rather slow process, as you know very well, but we think we'll be able to do something there. Certainly, it's going to cost quite a sum of money to get that project.
Like rocks, or are you talking about?
Well, I think what we're trying to stay away from or limit is our use of a hardened shoreline there, riprap. But it seems like that might be the best alternative.
On one side, you might have
to. If we do some type of low sill project.
Okay. Are there any dredging projects? Could they throw spoils up there and then replant it? Or I mean, is there anything? Because at one time it was fairly large, and it's down to just a sliver.
Well, we had intended at one time to use some of the dredge spoils from the Esselman Canal project and to do some infilling behind the riprap that would be placed there. Right. However, the timing of that didn't work out for us, so now we're exploring some other alternatives.
All right. I was just curious. It seems like it's getting critical. That's all. Anything?
Okay. And so you're going to actually go out and put ditches back in something. Were there ditches in there originally, Eric?
No.
I mean, but this is just, you're just... Other than the mosquito ditch?
What they're doing is they're using kind of the model from across the gut in the state park, and there are similar patterns, the little kind of feeder branches. But no, this would have been a relatively flat marsh like that. There may have been some old meanders that existed but may have been filled in.
Will you fill the existing ditches?
It depends on how much material comes out of the new ditches. They'll at least plug them a certain distance so that they're no longer letting water just kind of come in and out straight along those ditches. So it just depends on how much material is generated.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
That's all?
Yeah. Thanks, sir.
Introduce E.J. Kalabala, who also has been working on this project for some time as well.
The one with the pictures, the photographs?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for letting me say my piece. I'll be very quick, but I'd like to just simply say thank you, guys, for your contribution to our Oyster Gardener program with the Center for the Inland Bays. Without this, without the money you guys have given us, we would in no way be able to enhance it or expand this program. Start off, Oyster Gardener program, you know, what is it? Basically, we have right now 175 volunteers that have a 4-foot by a 3-foot float sitting at their dock. What's inside of this float are two baskets of oysters. Each of these oysters can probably filter up to 15 to 20 gallons of water per day, and there's probably upwards of 500 oysters in one tailored float. So we have all those volunteers at 115 locations. In 2003, we only had 22 volunteers at 16 locations. So you guys gave us this contribution, I believe, around 2006, and we were able to expand it, double, almost triple what we had. So we couldn't, ask for more. Also, what we do with these oysters when they grow them in about 5 months to be about 1 to 2 inches in length. What we do is take those oysters, place them on our oyster reef. That's what we did in the early years. Now we're venturing away from that and putting them in riprap. We want to try to stabilize the oyster population in the bays, try to get it back to where it was. It's going to take a lot of work, but, thanks to you guys and what you guys have managed to give to us, we couldn't be happier. And like I said, this is a very, a lot of interest in this program. I have a waiting list now of probably upwards of 20 people wanting to do this, and it just takes some time to make the gear, a little bit of money. It basically costs us about $120 to build the float, to supply the oysters and the gear that they need. We also have some, the solo people are contributing $120. A few people every now and then are doing that, so, couldn't ask for more, and again, I really appreciate it.
George, you growing oysters too?
No, but I will speak for all of us. We all like oysters.
Yeah.
That camera out there, it's not just the Osprey cam, it's also an oyster reef cam that takes pictures.
We need a 2-year one, though, huh? A 2-year oyster. Any questions?
They're a very salty oyster. They're a very good oyster.
George.
We do.
George, I got something to give you.
In the 2008 budget, we did have a grant for the Center for the Inland Bays.
So we have a check here
for the Center for the Inland Bays for $10,000, which matches your request for the year, and that's for the Center for the Inland Bays programs.
You have that today?
Yeah.
I want to know how many bushels that is, though.
It's a bushel and a half, about one float. It's about a bushel and a half of oysters per one float.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's $120. That's a bonus.
Well, I expect to put your oysters at the dock.
Wow.
Can you row? I'll be with the rake.
You give the center a call and we'll take a little boat ride. Do something. Wow, guys. Thank you very much.
Good luck. It's a great program.
Thank you. All right.
Yeah. Again, thank you very much. It's that's a surprise. We appreciate it. Certainly in these tough budget times.
I think you do a great job, and certainly we enjoy talking to you because you make good common sense to us. I appreciate that.
And it proves partnerships can work, and I think this, we don't have the expertise to do something like this, and you guys do.
Absolutely. I think partnerships are the hallmark of the National Estuary Program. It's what we do. It's who we are, and we appreciate the partnership we have with you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Eric, make sure you get that check from Get Party Action, huh?
Thank you.
Okay, Dave?
Yes. Okay, the next item is board appointment, and we have in the Board of Adjustment, we have a reappointment in Mr. Cole's district.
Ronald McCabe to be reappointed.
Second.
Move second that we reappoint Ronald McCabe to the Board of Adjustment. Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. Motion passed.
And then the next item is the county administrator's report. The first item is runway temporary closure on the evenings of July 14th through July 18th and July 20th and 21st from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. The main runway at the county airport in Georgetown will be temporarily closed. Work in building the new crosswind runway entails construction in the safety areas of the main runway. Because of this construction, there is a need for a temporary closure of the main runway during those evenings. Airport tenants have been made aware of this temporary closure. Sussex County Advisory Committee for the Aging, on July 21st at 10 a.m., the Sussex County Advisory Committee for the Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities we'll meet at the West Complex on North DuPont Highway in Georgetown, and attached is a copy of the agenda for the evening. Foreclosure prevention seminar, as per the attached news brief, the County Department of Community Development and Housing will host a free foreclosure prevention seminar on July 17th from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at the Laurel Town Hall. The event is open to the public with a goal to assist homeowners to prevent mortgage foreclosures. And then, fourth item is the Delaware State Police report. Attached is a copy of the May 2008 report from the Delaware State Police. As per the report, 4,458 complaints were handled, as well as 1,239 criminal arrests. And then one item that is not on the agenda, but I wanted to mention, is that at your place there should be a copy of a memo regarding revised open space definition for an ordinance. So
I think it was on her desk, Dave.
Oh, on her desk. Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But anyway, this provides some suggestions for a possible ordinance regarding the definition of open space, which is one of the ordinances that is included in the land use plan, one of the, I think it's 23 ordinances. So this is a start. And what we would like to do, what our plan is for, and this is sent to Planning and Zoning Commission also, is to allow you to look this over for several weeks and then put it on the agenda for the 29th for discussion.
Any questions, Mr. Baker? Your, as he said, the copy should be on your desk. If you have any comments, whatever, don't wait until the 30th. We need them on the 29th. So we can start putting in an ordinance form as part of one of the first ordinances that we're dealing with the land use plan. Okay, Susan?
Thank you. I have three new bank accounts for approval tonight. These are for our federal housing program grants, Home 08, Community Development Block Grant 08, and Housing Preservation Grant 08. Typically every year in the new budget year, I open up the new bank accounts for our federal grant programs. These funds cannot be commingled. I can't include these with last year's accounts. Tonight, I'm recommending that we open these accounts with Delaware National Bank. This is the bank that we have been using for these grants. These accounts are non-interest bearing, no service charges. We have all our federal grants of the housing programs with Delaware National, and I'm recommending that we keep it the same.
Questions?
Nope. I have a motion.
Please.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve the following resolution authorizing the payment from funds of the Sussex County Council on deposit with the Delaware National Bank bearing the signatures of any two of Finley B. Jones, Jr., President, Lynn J. Rogers, Vice President, or Susan M. Webb, Finance Director, and a signature may be facsimile provided one live signature is on check or withdrawal for Home 08, CDBG 08, and HPG 08.
So moved.
Second, gentlemen.
Second.
Move to second that we approve the motion about opening the new accounts as stated by the financial director. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Not voting.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
My vote is yes also.
Thank you. And good news tonight, I got word right before I left on vacation, which was July 4th week, that for the sixth year in a row, Sussex County has earned their Certificate of Excellence in Financial Reporting for its comprehensive annual financial report, the CAFRA, that we always talk about for fiscal year 2007. Of course, as you know, the award is among the highest form of recognition for governmental accounting and financial reporting. And we're very proud of it. I like to thank the accounting department. Stop.
Like she's patting herself on the back, I think.
Well, it is hard. It's a lot of work. Dave can appreciate it. He received it the four previous years. So, but we do a lot with the help of the accounting department and the finance department. It is a lot of work that starts when the auditors come in September all the way through December.
Right.
So, we do receive that.
Lots of troops are not here tonight, all of them, except for yourself.
Yeah, I get all credit.
Still, yeah, I do understand this.
Yeah, it's a team effort. I've been in that job, so I know exactly who does what, and it's not any one person. It takes us all.
Well, certainly.
Including the auditors. They put in a lot of time and an effort to crunch time.
And we do cut them a check.
It is good, though, that... Yes. You continue to do it. It says a lot about the...
And that's important, too. Personnel.
Absolutely.
We appreciate that.
I know.
That's why we're in the financial shape we're in, and the state's not. That's absolutely. Thank you, Sue.
You're welcome.
Al?
I thought a cake was going to come down.
Mr. President, members of council, I'm pleased this evening to be able to report to you in more detail than I gave you in the report that I sent you about 5:30 a.m. on July 1st, trying to recap for you the results of our efforts in the Delaware legislature this year. There were a number of bills that we were interested in, and I tried to make sure I had your pulse each time I went to Ledge Hall to know which way we wanted to influence these various bills, these legislative movements. In any event, I'm prepared to go in a little more detail with you tonight on all of the bills that we were watching, if you'd like, or I can just skim over them, whichever you prefer.
Skim.
Okay. Basically, as in the same report that I gave you in the early morning hours of July 1st, all of the land use bills that had been introduced, most all of them were introduced in the House, all of those bills stayed in the House. Very few of them were acted upon. Many of them never even got a committee hearing. There were a lot of land use issues that were in front of the legislature this past session. And don't forget, this General Assembly starts, it's actually a two-year term. It started in January of 07 and just finished up this June 30th. So it really isn't, it's out there lurking for about 18 months in cycle. So this coming January, we will start with obviously a new governor, and there'll be some new faces in the legislature, I'm sure. And, you know, the rules may change again, as they seem to every session. But I think that we fared very well. With rare exception, we got what we wanted when it came to close at 4:34 a.m. on July 1st, as Dave and I staggered out of there looking for coffee. There were a few bills that we wanted, ones that were important to our operation. I'm proud to say we got both of those bills that affected our engineering services passed both houses. There was one bill that will allow our engineering department to build a wastewater treatment plant outside the boundaries of a sewer district. And the benefit that'll be found there is that we can serve one, or we can serve one, two, three, or more sewer districts with one treatment plant and use one disposal field, which will make our operations much more cost effective, not only for our budget, but for the people who we serve's budget. It'll make, it should give us impetus to entertain lower sewer rates as well as more efficient service, particularly a service that will be concentrated in areas that are more apt to handle the effluent. I believe our engineering department will be able to more properly locate spray areas and fields that we will use for our ultimate disposal, and control the flows from larger areas. Rather than having one big community, as you know, we have 27 towns spread out all over the place. So we'll be able to service two or three of those with one plant. And I think the environmental efficiency will be as rewarding as the financial efficiency. Another issue that will help us, I think will help us in an event, pass our own referendums for public infrastructure. In the past, if we were going to have a referendum for stormwater management or road repairs in an existing subdivision, you gentlemen would hear from our engineering department, you would give the approval to have such a referendum, and the law said that we had to have that referendum exactly 30 days after your approval, which always put the referendums on a Thursday. So the problem there is that many of the folks that wanted to participate in approving the referendum couldn't make it on Thursday. So they couldn't use absentee ballots, they couldn't get there on Thursday. Now they can use absentee ballots with this piece of legislation that passed, and they can also, you also have the ability to be flexible on scheduling the dates.
It doesn't have to be 30 days.
It has to be between 30 and 60.
Right. 30 and 60 now.
So they have the flexibility to move it to a Saturday. Okay. So many of the out-of-town folks that don't live there all year can come participate.
You do
or
45 days.
Correct.
Okay.
Or they can use an absentee ballot, so you're going to get a bigger voter turnout. So hopefully that'll give us the ability to provide funding and with approval from the community on some of these infrastructure needs. The agritourism bill that we discussed at length at least twice, we got our wishes. We got exempted out of the law. I was a little surprised that they allowed us to do that because I'd been told all through the session that that wasn't going to happen. You're going to be in it. But I need to tell you that on June 25th, I was joined by our illustrious president. And it makes an awful lot of difference when you take the president of county council with you when you go up to lobby our legislators, because Mr. Jones is very respected, and they understood that when he came and told them the same thing that I'd been telling them for 2 weeks, that possibly what I was saying was the truth. And all of a sudden, things started passing, didn't they?
If somebody referred to you as our hired gun, that's what it was.
Hired gun.
Deputy dog type of thing.
That's okay. That's okay. I'm happy to carry the water. Not a problem. It's just that it lent a lot of credibility to my testimony to have him come in that day and say, yeah, that's what we wanted, because it really made a big difference. And I'm happy to tell you that I think we fared very well, and I'm happy to continue doing this. And I think that we got some legislation passed that will help you service this county. Thank you.
Questions to Hal, Dave?
Could I add one item?
Yeah. Hal, come on back.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't have a question. I just got a comment. I know that you were up there pushing for House Bill 451.
Yes, sir.
And because that did not get passed, it's going to cost the county and the state millions of dollars in lost revenue. I know it was not unanimous from our council to support that, but the special taxation district, if anything's going to, infrastructure's going to be put in Sussex County, we're going to have to get that passed sooner or later. I mean, the requirements that DLDOT is putting on some of these developers now is horrendous, and they cannot come up with $20 million to do infrastructure before they ever put the first shovel in the ground in the subdivision. And that's what they're requiring. A project that's in a level two area, been in a commercial since 1973, and they got to come up with $20 million before the start. It won't happen. So the county loses out on inspections, building permits, realty transfer tax, and the state loses out.
Correct.
Hopefully, maybe they can get it done the next session, but it's something that needs to get done.
House Bill 451 was my one disappointment, because we got it through the House unanimously. There was an attempt to amend it, and that happened on June 25th. They tried to amend it the day that President Jones and I were there, and the amendment failed. It only had one vote. And then when the bill came back on the floor with no amendments, it passed 41-0. Absolutely. And it went over to the Senate, and I had spoken with Senator Venables about it, along with some other bills. I gave him a complete briefing. He understood it and supported it. Then there were some other complications that came up between that Thursday and Monday the 30th, and the bill it was never on an agenda. Well, it never showed up on a Senate agenda.
Unless you've been up there the last day, you don't understand the chaos that happens. And Senator Venables told me that, he said, it passed. I said, no, it didn't. He said, yeah, it was put on the consent agenda and or the ready list. And I said, no, I didn't get on there. He said, well, he said, there was so much going on.
That's
he
true.
Said, the numbers were flying about
That's
this
true.
Bill and that bill. He said, maybe I wrote the numbers down wrong.
No, I had given him a little card, so I would have it put in his pocket. I had all the numbers on the card. We had been through it. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but as you said, it's very chaotic. And on the last day, you see, the Senate operates under different rules than does the House.
A little bit.
Yeah, and I could not get an agenda at all, even while the Senate was in session. There was no agendas to be had unless a legislator would hand it to you from his desk. So I couldn't get an agenda. I went downstairs to legislative council several times looking for, because they had so many must lists and different agendas. There was agenda one, agenda two, agenda three. Then there were consent agendas. Then they were starting to letter them, A, B, C, and D agenda. Then there were a bunch of must lists. And not only could I not get them all, I couldn't figure out what was on and what wasn't. So the fact that that number got lost in the mix somewhere late night, June 30th, disappoints me, but it doesn't surprise me. My position was that we supported that bill in either fashion, right, amended or without. And Bob knew that. And the amendment in the House got defeated soundly. And he knew that. And he was ready to put the bill on one of those consent agendas. It was going to get voted on with a group of bills. But I never saw it. I never saw it. And I was sitting there following the agenda as much as I could. But on the 30th, a visitor sitting in the gallery around has no influence at all. At least I didn't see anybody having any influence.
Well, you got to remember that Senator Venables said last night that the last night is when they tried to override the governor's veto.
Right.
It's the first time in his 20 years since he's been up there that he's tried to do that. And there was a lot of wrangling going on that last night over
that
override, because he was told not to do it. He told them, I'm going to do it, and he did it. And some of them bailed on him, some of them stuck with him. So, it was very chaotic on the eminent domain override.
Right. Correct. And it could have been that bill number was pulled by somebody.
It's hard to tell.
Upstairs, who knows? Knowing that it was something that Bob Venables wanted.
Last name starts W?
I'm not going to say. I don't know.
Okay.
No.
Could be. But I think we know that we're going to go back with that one first thing in January and do everything we can to get. Dave's already spoken with with Joe Booth, and I've spoken to Biff Lee, right, and they know that we're going to be back with that bill early in January to get it introduced and get it worked as quickly as possible. Thanks.
Thanks. Any other questions?
I'm glad it failed.
I have a comment. One of the concerns we did have is regarding the grant and aid bill. And I have a copy of page 24 of the grant and aid bill, which was introduced at about 3:30 a.m. that evening.
Well, they stuck it to us, basically.
It was not, as usual, it was not publicly available prior to introduction when the Senate acted on it. But what this section would do is change the state portion of paramedic funding during fiscal 2010. Now we just started fiscal 2009, so this would not go into effect and would probably have to be, I've been told, passed again by the General Assembly or included in the next grant and aid bill. But what this does is change the funding by the state for paramedics from 40% to 30% in 2010, which would mean about a $1.4 million reduction in state funds for Sussex County, a little more than that for Newcastle, and about $500,000 for Kent County. When the three counties got together, this was one of the things we were trying to avoid, as long as well as a change in the transfer tax. So we are concerned about this, and we suggest that in the next session we'll work to have this changed, of course.
But also, what they're trying to do is get us to pay for all of it, and they still have all the say, right?
They still have the control, the approval of the budget.
We pay for it all, we should have the say. We said about, we talked about that 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, there's certainly some of the other things that we talked about prior to this being dumped on us. Basically, some people I'm not talking about state legislators, but I'm talking about the internal office part, strictly lied to the Joint Finance Committee because this has not happened, and without, you know, they were told that we approved it, and it didn't happen. And we are going to work on it. And Mr. Duke brought up a great thing. Isn't that about the same amount of money that we give the state police here? Is that about right?
A little bit less, yeah.
Y'all boys are bluffing.
You think?
Yes, sir.
Ain't no bull me.
Make the motion.
But, you know, it's something we can work on. I know, Dave, you wrote a letter to the Joint Finance. And,
yes, I drafted a letter for the three counties to county administrators to sign, because we were all three at those meetings. And I spoke to Mike Pettimon from Kent County tonight, and they're in agreement with the letter as revised, and we're waiting for Newcastle County, and they've told us that they were in the same boat. They were completely unaware of this also.
That's a pretty sneaky way to do it, though. There's, you know, unless you know what Section 29 is and is referring to paramedics,
right,
you'd read over that and would have no idea they were changing the mix of the paramedics. There's nothing saying paramedics. You talk about Section 29 and changing the percentages.
Right. I mean, you wouldn't know. Yeah. And in fact, we didn't get a copy of it till after it was passed anyway, really. So
it'll make any difference.
Yeah.
Any other questions, Mr. Brakeham? So we will have a follow-up if we get a response from the the Joint Finance, and then we'll deal with it from that point on.
Thank you.
Good evening, Brad. How you doing, man?
Council is aware that we're working in Route 26 on our regional sewer projects there.